Hey everyone, my name's Nick Brandt. I'm one of the senior leaders here at Circa Riders. I want to welcome you to the Circa Rider podcast. If you don't know us, we're a YWAM missional community based here in Huntington Beach, California. Our passion is Jesus. Our mission field is our generation, and we believe our opportunity is now. I want to sincerely thank you for being a part of our broader community. Enjoy this podcast.
We doing good tonight? If you are not doing good tonight, after the presence of God in that worship, and just come talk to me right here. We'll take a 5 minute moment and then you'll be doing good. We'll get lined up. I got a word tonight, something I want to share, but really quick, I just want to say that the presence of God is moving in a tangible way tonight. And, during worship, one of the ways that the Holy Spirit speaks to me and moves in my life is I get gripped with the emotion of God. And during worship, I started to get gripped with his emotion for this room tonight. And I felt him whisper, there's transformation encounters for some of you tonight. And so I just truly believe that for some of you that have been longing for a transformation encounter with the presence and power of God, I want you to lean in with expectation that tonight is your night. If there's something you've been longing for in your life, for a cycle of sin to break, for an encounter with the love of God, you've been looking for a breakthrough encounter in the presence of God. I just truly believe that the Holy Spirit has marked tonight for many of you tonight to have a breakthrough transformation encounter in the presence of God. And I wanted to say that on the front end because I'm going to get into my word. But I want to stir your faith a little bit that in the presence of God, I never want to become normalized to the presence of God. That how God is moving on these Monday nights, I never want it to become business as usual. The living God is in the room tonight. And so when I feel he's got an unction or I feel there's something that he wants to do, I feel the same as you that have been coming to Monday. I want to lean in with what is in the heart of God, and I want to pull every last thing that's in his heart out every single time we gather on a Monday night. And so I'm expecting, I'm looking forward to how God's going to lead us after we get through the word and how we'll respond to him. Amen. Amen. Well, I've been looking forward to sharing with you guys tonight. I love Monday nights. I get touched by the presence of God when we gather together. I always get encouraged. I love where God's been taking us the last number of weeks on really getting into the foundations of our walks with Jesus. And Nick and Derek and Zach have really been going week by week into foundational truths and how they apply to our life. Last week, how many of you guys loved that Nick explained to us that we have a helper in the Holy Spirit? How many of you guys, I did it before this message. I said, Lord, I need some help tonight. How many of you guys asked for help from the Holy Spirit this week? Amen. And then Zach a few weeks ago took us into the power of being justified by faith, that there's nothing that we could do to earn salvation. There's nothing you or I could do to get ourselves to heaven. No, we are justified freely by the finished work of the cross. How many of you guys are still sitting in that truth, stoked that you're justified freely? I mean, our first encounter was like three songs in a row of like, man, the blood, look at the power of the blood, right? So we're getting reminded of that tonight. And so tonight, I want to continue on these foundational truths, and it's not separate. It actually builds on where we went the last number of weeks. You see, sometimes in Western Christianity, we are quick to celebrate that we are justified by faith, and rightly so. If I'm going to stand before Jesus and I've got to depend on my works or his finished work of the cross, I'm very grateful that I'm not depending on my works, but I'm depending on the finished work of the cross. How many of you guys are excited that when you stand before God at the end of your life, you're not going on your own merit. You're going to the mercy seat saying, thank you, Jesus, for the blood. We're grateful for that, right? And this is a common message in Western Christianity. There's another thing that we're going to go after tonight that sometimes in Western Christianity gets separated, but it's not separate. Justification actually launches us in to this aspect of the Christian life, and it's called sanctification. Everyone say sanctification. Now, that can sound like a big word. Most of you probably already know what it means, but we're going to get into the heart of sanctification. And what, in simplicity, sanctification is when every aspect of your life, you surrender to Christ, you're justified freely, you've said yes, you're born again, you're following him. For the rest of your life, the Holy Spirit, Jesus, is going to be transforming every aspect of your life to look more like Jesus. It's not just like compartmentalized. No, Jesus wants to step into every single part of your life and transform it to become more like him. It's not just in what you speak, though it includes that. It's not just in how you spend your money, though it includes that. It's not just in how you treat your family, though it includes that. No, Jesus wants to get into every aspect of your life. And he's coming after our lives tonight. Now, to set the context a little bit more, in the Western church, a lot of times there's this gap because we so emphasize being justified freely by his grace that sometimes we let ourselves off the hook from living like Jesus. That because we've been justified so freely, we take advantage of the grace of God and say, he did everything, I don't really have to do anything until I get to heaven one day. But you'll miss out on the rest of the storyline where Jesus says, no, I actually want to not only save you and set you free, I want to activate your life. I want you to live a life of freedom that looks like a life surrendered and laid down for Jesus. Now, in his book, Richard Lovelace, Dynamics of Spiritual Life, he called this gap in Western culture, Christianity, the sanctification gap. And tonight, we're closing the gap. Everybody say, close the gap. Okay, how many of you love it when God comes down with a love encounter? Is there anybody? No, and we should love that. How many of you love the moment when you first experienced, not just heard about it, God loves me, but you experienced in the depth of your heart, oh my goodness, the creator of heaven and earth loves me. How many of you guys love a good love encounter? Okay, how many of you guys, admit, I have one, but I'm ready to have one right now. That sounds good. Okay. I still remember at 19 years old when I had my first raw love encounter with Jesus. My life at the time was not a perfect picture, though I pretended that it was. And if you've been to a Monday night that I've spoken at, some of this will be repeat, but I want to catch you up in the storyline, is that before my first tangible love encounter with Jesus at 19, I knew how to put on a good face. I knew how to pretend like everything was going great. I knew how to smile at you and say, Chase, you doing good? Yeah, I'm doing good, man. But on the inside, I was dying. On the inside, I was longing for a real relationship with Jesus. I didn't know how to get there. I knew the storyline, but I didn't know how to get to a raw, real relationship with Jesus. And so I did what many times we do when we get caught up in religion. I tried to earn my relationship with God. Whenever I would mess up, I'd say, man, the only way to counteract that is not to go to repentance. I gotta do something more. I gotta fix my life. I gotta do something to correct my own life. And what happened is a cycle of sin only got stronger. Man, struggling with pornography. And then, you know, I'm doing good for a few days. God must love me. Right back. I'm gonna work harder to get free, but not really tell anybody or confess or go the humble route. I'm just gonna try harder, smile bigger, do something. You know what happened? The disconnect I felt between God just got bigger and bigger and bigger. And I'll never forget at 19 when one of my friends came. He wasn't my friend yet, but he came to preach on the love of God. I was in a training school for 6 months. First day, he preaches on the love of God for 2.5 hours. And I keep waiting for the moment where I'm going to have to do something. And he preaches for 2.5 hours on the love of God, and I feel everything inside of me resisting it. I don't deserve that. How? How could you love me? You see the buried anger I have towards my parents. You see the fake religion I'm living. You see the cycles of sin. You see the foul language that I talk with my friends. You see so much. How could you love me? And it was just like the love of God was hammering in and hammering in and hammering in. And then eventually after 2.5 hours, I broke and I began to weep in the love of God. Nothing I could do. It's like the message 2 weeks ago was that there's nothing that I could do to earn it. God said, right in the midst of your junk, I love you. And he poured out a love encounter on my life. Now, since that day, and rightly so, I have longed for more love encounters. When you taste and see that he is good, something is born in your heart that says, I want more of that. Once you taste the real thing, you long for more of the real thing. But in my journey, then with God, what was amazing is once I tasted of the love of God, God had even more for me. And he invited me to become more like him. He loved that I was longing for more love encounters, but there were some things in the way that God wanted to take out. And this is where sanctification started to work on me. You see, Jesus actually wants to pour out his presence, his power, his love, who he is in our life more and more and more. But a lot of times the one thing that's in the way is us. And God is asking things of us. He's going to put a demand on us. He's pulling on us to repent, to do the hard things, not because he doesn't love us, but because he does love us. Did you know that, I'm getting ahead of myself, but just for a second, did you know that the purpose of the Christian life is not to have an easy life? And I'm smiling real big about it. The Christian life is going to be hard at times. The Christian life is going to invite us into challenge. The Christian life is going to be full of times where Jesus, who loves us so much, is going to invite us to pick up our cross and follow him. He's going to invite us to do those hard things. Can I share with you guys, after my love encounter, a few of the hard things that God invited me into? Is that all right? Can I get vulnerable with you guys tonight? Okay, I was, you know, the days after, I was like, Lord, let's do that love encounter thing again. And it was confession time in week two of my training school. And my heart started to pound. I'm like, oh my gosh, I got things I got to repent of. And I don't know if you've ever been to like a setup confession moment. They can be a little awkward sometimes. You guys ever been to confession time that was awkward? Like the three bros are going to get together and here we go. Well, we were about to have that moment, and I was determined to not only not make it awkward, I was determined to just like spill my guts and say everything I'd ever done. I was like, I'm just going to go for it, and we're going to see what happens. Because it was confession time, man. They had these little benches over in the trees, kind of a set apart place. And I was like, man, I've never told anybody the things that I'm about to tell these four guys that I just met a week ago. I am about to confess some things to them that have made me feel distant from God for the last years of my life. And I'm about to tell them with the hope that maybe God will forgive me and set me free right now. And I remember going over to that little sandpit with the benches thinking, this is going to be terrible. I kind of like this guy from South Africa. I think we could be buddies. As soon as I share this, he's like, that guy's weird. I'm out. I like this leader, man. He seems really holy, on fire for God. As soon as I tell this leader that I struggle with porn, I'm getting kicked out of the mission school and going home. What am I doing? And it wasn't going to be an easy moment. Everything inside of my flesh was resisting. Chase, don't tell the whole story. Don't confess it. Don't do it. Go back to love encounter time. But I knew in my heart that it was the Holy Spirit. My heart started pounding. You ever got the heart pound of confession? Man, somebody just got it right now. You'll have time tonight. Don't worry. But my heart started pounding, and we're going around the circle. And by going around, it was like, who volunteers? I volunteered first. All of a sudden, my hand was up. I was like, man, I'm going to confess this stuff. And I laid it out there. I was like, here's my sexual sin. Here's what I struggle with. And I just laid it out there before a leader and other friends. I was 19 years old, so 18 years ago. And I remember as soon as it came out, it was like something lifted off my shoulders. It was like a weight that I had so internalized. I had built so much self-hatred, so much shame attached to it, so much like, man, I'm going to have no future. I'll never get married. All this stuff was built up inside of me. As soon as I just confessed my sin, it was not easy, but as soon as I confessed my sin to a brother, all of a sudden this weight lifted. And what shocked me was nobody said anything. Everybody else just jumped in, followed my lead, and they all confessed their stuff. And then the leader led us through a simple time of repentance. And you know what happened? It bonded every single one of us together, and some of those guys are still my friends today. When you say yes to the hard things that the Holy Spirit invites you into, you are saying yes to deeper friendship with Jesus. You're saying yes to greater connection with those around you. See, sanctification is not always easy, but it's going to bring you into greater union with Jesus, who you are, and greater friendship with those around you. Can I share one or two more with you guys? Just getting too vulnerable. You guys getting excited to do some of this tonight? All right, here we go. Right in the midst of that, he didn't stop there. I think we have a little bit of freedom coming tonight in the midst of our transformation encounters, but God didn't stop there. Chase, great job confessing. This is a few weeks later. I want you to give away your brand new computer. Now, this is I'm down for the confession, Lord. I did that. But this was like graduation present from mom and dad. I don't know they're going to be stoked if they find out brand new MacBook Pro. Listen, they have a lot of money. This is kind of how, this is what I use to update people and stuff. But I felt the Lord was pressing on my heart. Do you want to live in freedom? If you've been addicted for years, do you want to get set free? And so I kind of wrestled with God for a week, and he put it on my heart to give it to a guy leading the school. And so towards the end of that lecture, I said, hey, this is kind of crazy, but I feel like I'm supposed to give this computer. The guy freaks out. He's like, I've been praying for this exact computer for like a year. And I was like, happy for you, man. Enjoy all the cool stuff that I know that it does that I'll never use. But you know what happened? As soon as I got rid of it, I realized that was the Holy Spirit leading me once again. I'm not strong enough to live free. And God in his mercy is willing to sanctify every aspect of my life to become more like him. There will be a cost sometimes if you want to live free. Sometimes you're like, why am I still addicted? Because you still sleep next to your phone. Why am I still mad at my parents? Because you still talk trash about them. The list goes on. Sometimes we're not honest with what it really requires to become more like Jesus. We want the get out of hell free card, but do we want to pick up our cross and follow Jesus? And for me, what I found, don't hear what I'm not saying. That sounds intense, right? I kind of went for it right there, right? But if anybody knows me, I'm a pretty happy guy. And what I have found is when I have said yes to the intensity, the hard things that Jesus asked me to do, the joy actually increases. There's a worldly happiness that you can give from going to the beach or enjoying the day or playing golf with your buddies, but there's a joy far deeper when you are saying yes to the sanctified life of following Jesus. When you know you are locked in with the living God, when you are making your one life count, it's but a vapor, and you're saying, Jesus, you can have everything about my life. You get it all. When you are locked in on that, I'm telling you, there is a joy that the world cannot take away from you. And that's where God's taking us tonight. Can I do one more with you guys? Okay. Right when I thought I was really doing good, I was feeling on fire. Feeling free, man, forgiven of sin, dude. Reading the Bible now. The Bible's coming alive. I'm getting excited. Then we start having evangelism time. And I was a little afraid of public speaking or really talking to anybody I didn't know. And so I remember first evangelism time. Like, all right, guys, we got like 2 hours. We're going to go down to the beach and share the gospel. The guys on the street are at the beach. And I'm just like so scared. And I'm like, what happened? What happened to that like love encounter, the tears? There's still fear? There's still something else here. You want more, Lord? I just gave so much the last. You want more right now? Yeah, why don't you share the gospel with that guy over there? All right. Hey, man. Loves you.
What was that?
That's right. I did it, Lord. Now try again. That guy. Man, two guys in. I'm getting so embarrassed. It's going so bad. It's going so bad. Have you guys ever had like evangelism gone wrong? I was just running the play, guys. I was the highlight tape right here. It gets like 4 or 5 in, though. You know what's funny? It's just like anything else hard in life is it's not always easy at first, but the more you do it, the more you grow into it. We pray for a revival movement, but are we willing to share the gospel for a revival movement? Right? So I'm praying, I'm going to go share the next guy. And I get through sharing, I don't remember how it was, like 4 or 5 people. Last one, it was still bad, guys. It was so bad. But when it came back to testimony time, guys, because the team comes back together, you guys ever do this, come back, and it's like, chalk talk, man, how to go, dude. I led somebody to Christ, dude, let's go. Chase, how'd you do? I said stuff, man. I did it. Did anybody get touched? I don't care, dude, I got free today. Because I said yes to doing what the Holy Spirit was leading me to do. See, God is going to ask us to do hard things all the time. Because he loves us. See, tonight I feel there's this transformation encounter for some of you. Because some of you, the hard thing is going to be like fully surrender, get things in the light, get delivered. For some of you, it's going to be like, man, that thing that God's been knocking on your heart. Like, hey, you really want to be a gospel preacher? That's going to require late nights, early mornings. You got to be willing to do the hard thing. What is it that God is going to be pulling on your heart for? Because sometimes it's going to require something difficult. One more thing really quick. I just felt this one for tonight specifically. We'll see how far we go into it. But one last thing the Lord made me do was forgive my parents. And for some of you, that could be really easy depending on your background. For some of you, that could be far harder than it was even for me right then depending on your background. But everyone, this is going to be shocking. This was shocking for me at 19, guys. I had the revelation though at 19. Did you know that our parents are not perfect? How many of you guys just had a revelation? Don't hide your hand. Come on. Okay, thank you for your honesty back there. It sounds silly, right? But, I mean, growing up, mom and dad are heroes, man. You have this big image picture, and then when they don't hit the picture, because they never will, trust me, my three kids, there's so many moments like, I love my kids more than anything, and I know they look up to me. It's the best. But I had this thing in the back of my mind, like, oh, man, they're going to find out one day that, like, I'm really, like, just like a guy. Like, yeah, I got some cool stuff, and things are going good, and I married way up with their mom, and he's pretty smart doing that, and dad, you got some things figured out, but like, you got some stuff still, dad. Like, I know that's coming for them. Does that make sense? And so this came for me at 19. It came like a freight train where I feel the Lord was challenging me. Hey, you got to forgive your dad. My parents were separated. They went through some stuff and they weren't perfect. Some hard, difficult, challenging things where I had felt justified to get bitter and angry. And so I had built up a bitter, angry heart, and I kind of locked up like, no, I'm justified in this because of what they've done. And I'll never forget when the Lord confronted me, right as all this other stuff is happening. Chase, your dad's broken just like you. Forgive, because I forgave you. Wow. It was that simple. Did you not love it when I forgave you of all that stuff? Oh man, I sure did, Lord. So you're going to hold something against your dad. He needs the exact same mercy as you do. Man, I'll never forget that love encounter. It's like I had like a fresh understanding of the love of God for my dad. We had to do some awkward calls since then. Interesting relationship. But can I tell you, 17 years later, I'm so glad I did that. Because now me and my dad have a closer relationship than we did 17 years ago. And it started with doing the hard work of like, I've got to forgive the things that actually were wrong. I'm doing that work because I want to have a restored relationship with my dad. Now, I know I shared a lot of different categories right now. And then I'll be like, Chase, which one are we going to respond to first? I felt to share a breadth of things tonight because I want all of us to feel the invitation to close the gap on sanctification. My goal tonight is that wherever you're at in life, whatever the Holy Spirit is really tugging on your heart tonight, whatever in my own story, I wanted to be vulnerable and honest with you guys tonight because I haven't shared with you guys in a little bit. I want to be able to connect with your hearts before I invite you to make the same decisions. Like, Lord, where do you want to sanctify my heart? Where do you want to invite me into a greater death to self? Because the truth is, we've been crucified with Christ. That's not just poetic language. That's what Paul said in Galatians 2:20. We've been crucified with Christ and no longer live, but Christ lives in us. He's on the inside, and it's really, will we clear out everything so that he can fully come alive on the inside? Can we keep going tonight? Okay, here we go. That's the context. That's the foundation. I'm going to go a few more minutes, probably more than a few. Okay. A little more context, a little more Bible teaching, and then we'll come back to the storyline. Okay. The foundation is Christ in us. Okay. Hebrews 10:14 says this, by one offering, he perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Quick moment. You have been positionally perfected forever before God. He doesn't look at your righteousness. You have the righteousness of Christ. That's your position before the Father. You are covered in his righteousness. This is really good news. But Hebrews 10:14 is a great summary for me of the work. Well, if I'm perfected, how come I don't feel like it? Well, because you still got a flesh that is being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Perfected forever, but now you are being sanctified until you are with Christ in eternity. Let's do another verse. We're covered by his righteousness. The same power that rose Jesus from the dead is now at work on the inside of us. Okay, not only are you being sanctified, but you're not being sanctified by your own strength. The very Spirit that rose God from the dead lives inside of you and lives inside of me. It's not like darkness and light have an equal battle. No, we have the Spirit of God on our side. So sanctification and the hope of becoming more like Christ and having our life transformed, it's not a vain hope. This is not wishful thinking tonight. The Spirit of God can do anything in your life if you have faith to believe that He can. If you lean in and believe that God could transform any area of your life, it will open up the door for Him to do exactly that. Okay, be holy as He is holy. Make sure I got the right verses here. Here we go. 1 Peter 1:14 says, as obedient children, do not be conformed to your former passions, but as He who called you is holy, be holy in all your conduct. Hebrews 12:14 says, without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Okay, this is not to give us fear. This is to be an invitation to greater intimacy. The purpose of tonight is not so that we become a better Christian. The purpose of tonight is so you get sanctified. The first and great reward is for greater friendship with God Himself. He wants to remove things so that you can experience more of Him. And simultaneously, He wants to make you more like Him so that others around you can experience the kingdom of God through your life in greater measure. Okay, so here's the process. We got to put the flesh to death. Here we go. Romans 8:12-14. So then, brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. So foundation, finished work of the cross. But guess what? You have a part to play. We have to engage our will by the leading of the Holy Spirit. Everyone say, engage my will. Now, God does the heavy lifting. He did it. He died on the cross. There's a new way available to us. But if we don't engage our will, we're not going to experience the transformation that we want to see. Could you imagine if you did, if the Lord, let's go back to the first example. God wants to set you free from sexual sin. You got an addiction to pornography. And the Lord puts it on your heart. Hey, get rid of the phone for 3 months. Get a brick phone. Just try it out. And you never do that. And you're still addicted 3 months later. You cannot blame God. He was being so merciful, so kind, saying, come on, let's get free. I love you. I want you to be free. Chuck that thing. Not worth it. Life is short. Eternity is long. Let's go, right? Or maybe it's struggle with bitterness with others, anger with others. If God said, hey, I want you to have a prayer moment and actually forgive that person out loud. If you never do that and your heart still feels numb 3 months later, it's because we are not engaging our will and where the Holy Spirit is leading us. You got to engage your will on what God wants to do in your heart if you want to be set free and transformed by the power of the Spirit. If I just sat here bitter at my dad, I said, grace, grace, Lord, grace, grace. And I never obey the Bible. I'm misunderstanding what grace actually does. Grace will empower you to obey the scriptures. Grace will empower you. If I'm just sitting here going, grace, grace, and the Lord's like, Chase, call your dad. Lost his number, Lord. No, you didn't. It's memorized. Call your dad. I just want to sit in the love of God today. I'm ready to soak it in, Lord. Finished work. Yeah, it's finished, and I want your dad to experience it too. Call him. If I just sit there and I never respond, I never obey, I never get my life in the game, does that make sense? I'm going to misunderstand the full working of grace in our life. One more verse here on this first part. We've got to put our flesh to death. You guys excited to put our flesh to death tonight? I'm glad you're pumping. 2 Corinthians 3. Says this. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Everybody say, transformed. Okay, when the Spirit is active in our life, sometimes I feel like we say this in charismatic service, glory to glory. I'm just going glory to glory. No, this is like a real transaction. The Holy Spirit is really transforming you day after day to look more like Jesus. And sometimes that doesn't look like a, whoa, glory. It looks like, whoa, repent of sin. Sometimes the Holy Spirit is saying like, hey, go share the gospel. Get over your fear. Hey, make some new friends. You're not that lonely if you just reach out to three people. No. Okay, sorry. Is this too? Okay. It happens to me still sometimes, guys. I got great friends, man. Sometimes it's like a Friday, like, man, you guys ever done this? The bros ain't texting me, man. What are they? They're probably doing something without me. Feeling kind of lonely now. Lord, this is a tough cross tonight. Chase, why don't you text them? I've been initiating for like 3 weeks, Lord. It's a long time. Try one more time. No, Lord, next day. Hey, what's up, guys, man? See him at the office. What are you guys doing? Oh, dude, we went to In-N-Out last night. I knew it. When'd you guys go? Like 8 o'clock, huh? Lord told me to text him at 7. Yeah. It's a lonely road, man. Who's got time for old Chasey Moore and 3 kids, man? It's too busy. No, it's fake, dude. Just text your buddy. Initiate. There's a cost. Is this too basic? Did I lose somebody right there? Sometimes the loneliness, the anxiety we feel is because we doom scrolled for hours. We looked at 40 people. We looked at 40 people over and over and over again, and we never, I think Nick hit this last week, but it's worth saying again, because I still do it sometimes. We just do it, and at the end of the deal, we feel less full and more empty, and we wonder why. And if I just put it down and got to bed an hour earlier and woke up an hour earlier with my kids, not tired, but full of energy, I realize my kids are awesome. I got like built-in best friends. Life is great. My buddies still want to hang out, and we get in and out with them all together later. Wouldn't that be a lot more fun? Sometimes we overcomplicate the sanctification journey when the Holy Spirit is just wanting to put things on our heart and our life. Say, hey, try this. Hey, put this down. Hey, give up this. I've got something better. He's not wanting to put down scrolling because he wants you to be bored. He's saying, no, I want you to have real human interaction. That healed something in Nick's heart tonight. I want you to have real human interaction. Look somebody in the eyeballs. And no, I don't mean go to In-N-Out and do this. Bro, have you seen this reel? Oh, come on. How many of you guys have ever, like, I can't wait to hang with the bros, dude. I got like 14 ready for you, dude. Get ready. Oh my gosh, that one was so good. What'd you guys talk about? Lindy, you got, look at this reel, babe. I want to tell you about my day, but first, babe, look at this. No, this is crazy. And then at the end of the day, I'm like, man, I'm feeling kind of disconnected from the bros. It's so weird. No, you just got to say yes to normal human interaction. Let the Holy Spirit lead you into loving friendships and relationships, right? All right, that was a bonus. That wasn't in the notes. All right. That was the next one. Okay. You guys having fun tonight? I'm having fun. I'm enjoying being with you guys tonight. So part one of the process, put the flesh to death. Okay, things are going to come up and the Holy Spirit's going to ask us to crucify our flesh. And can I tell you that a lot of times it doesn't come with a goosebump? I wish it did. I wish sometimes it felt better than it does, but sometimes it actually is just painful and hard. And I want to tell you that there's something on the other side, but no, sometimes you just have to do something that's difficult. But I think we're all created for that and actually long for that. We want to do something that counts and matters. Okay, process part two, the power of love that transforms. Okay, one of the commentaries I read said this, that the whole Christian life, F.F. Bruce said this about Galatians 2:20, the whole Christian life is a response to the love exhibited in the death of the Son of God. So I'm bringing it back to Jesus and love is because we don't put our flesh to death for no reason. We put it to death because we're so in love with Jesus. we've seen a picture of the cross, and we so love Jesus, and we've encountered the love of Jesus in such a way. We want to not only put our flesh to death, but we want to become alive to Christ. He doesn't leave us dead, just like Jesus didn't stay in the grave. He came back to life. Resurrection life can flow through us when we put our flesh to death. Sometimes we're like, I want more power. The Lord's like, I want more of you. Give me all of you, and maybe I can give you more of me. There's too much of you still in there. Chase, there's too much pride. You think you're too good at this. You're too good at that. Get a little bit more humble. I want to get more of myself in there, but I'm low, Chase. You got to come a little lower. How many of you guys ever been on like, I've just been asking for power for like 6 months. I ain't seeing nothing. And it's the back door of humility. The Lord's like, hey, Chase, just repent. You got a lot of pride, dude. Just chuck that and we'll get free. All right. Man, for the sake of time, I'm not going to do revival story time, but it really is a revelation of Christ, his radical love on the cross, and then a radical response to that love in the cross that has led to so many revival movements throughout history. I mean, Count Zinzendorf, I'll just do it briefly. Count Zinzendorf, who led the Moravian movement, he's a wealthy guy, but he literally looked at the painting of Christ crucified, looked at a painting of Christ crucified. He got so gripped by the love of Christ from looking at this painting. He goes back to his community. It's a long story short, but he builds such great relationship. He's repenting and he starts a prayer movement that lasts 100 years. Because he got so gripped by the love of Christ seen on Calvary. That prayer movement of 100 years then becomes a missionary sending movement. These missionaries were selling themselves into slavery to reach unreached people groups. It became a, sometimes we want to see the radical move, but it takes a radical response to the cross. It takes us saying yes to the closing the gap of being sanctified in our life. Isaac or whole band, you guys can come back up. I'm not going super long tonight. Because we're going to have a few things we respond to. I shared a bunch of different things. But here's my real goal. My real desire tonight is that Galatians 2:20 would become real for us. Is that it wouldn't just be an encouraging verse that we read that Paul attained to that, but I never could. No, Paul was a man like you and me. The Apostle Peter was a man like you and me. The guys we read about in here are men, they're just like us, but they're men and women that got consumed with the vision of Jesus and the Spirit of God. And they were willing for their whole life to be crucified just like Jesus was crucified. They were saying, I want my life to be crucified just like Jesus, that he could live through me. Galatians 2:20 says this, says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Can we get it up here? Oh, thank you for putting that slide up. That was like a Holy Ghost connection. I didn't even tell you. We're going to read this a few more times, guys. This is where we're going to drive the peg in, then we're going to respond to Jesus. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. This is the reality. When you said yes to Jesus, you might not have realized this is part of the good news, guys. This is good news. Not only were you justified freely by his grace, but your life was put on that cross as well. See, Paul tapped into this. When he got revelation of Jesus on that road, and he realized the very thing that he was trying to destroy was the very thing that God was trying to build. And he has a revelation of God. Instantaneously, everything in Paul's life was transformed. And his whole old life, everything, all of his merit, way ahead of the people of his generation. Brilliant, zealot, extreme. All of that, all of his personal accolade, it gets crucified with Christ because it's no longer Paul and about him. It's about Christ and him crucified. He realized that his life had been put up there on the cross. And the more that we understand that when we say yes to Jesus, not only are we freely justified by grace, but our old life is now put on the cross with Jesus. He wants to take every aspect of our old life and crucify it, crush it, destroy it, get it out of there, because we are new creations in Christ Jesus. And if we would continue in faith, believing that we are new creations in Christ Jesus, I'm telling you, there is no limit to what God could do through your life. Because it's not you doing it. It's Christ alive in you. This isn't poetic language. This is real. It's Christ alive in you. Hey, you need to confess that sin like Chase did at 19. Come on. Don't live in this any longer. Don't live in hidden sin any longer. Don't wait any longer. Don't wait for next Monday. Don't wait for the prayer set at Greenhouse. Don't wait for tomorrow morning when it's more perfect time and the mood's right. No, no, I'm knocking on your heart tonight. Crucify your flesh. Put it on the cross. Let me have your old life. Let me have the sin that is plaguing you day after day, the cycle. Let me have it. Let me rip it out of your life. Let me put it on the cross and give you my life. Some of you, he's knocking on your heart tonight. Some of you, I'm telling you, I felt to share that story about my parents because some of you, I felt there was a real liberty and freedom where the Holy Spirit's knocking on your life. Hey, you've got to get rid of the frustration, the anger, the bitterness towards your folks. You got to put it on the cross. Let your flesh be crucified. Let it go up on the cross. Man, get rid of all that stuff. Put it up there so that I can live through you. Some of you are like, I got big dreams, but I've been saying no to the call of God. Man, when Zach put that thing up there, I was supposed to sign up for CX. Some of you, God is asking for you to give a time of your life. No, we want to see a move of God. Will we pay the price? Will you put your life on that cross and say, Jesus, you can have any aspect of my life. Now, this is a dangerous prayer, guys, because when you do that, he'll take you serious. It's not like, I'm not looking for like just a goosebump response, though I hope the Holy Spirit gives you a little bonus love right there. That'd be amazing. But when God bids us come and die, he means it. He's saying, hey, you want to give me every aspect of your life? I've been waiting. And I'm telling you, it's the wisest decision any of us could ever make is to have no limitation. Jesus, you get it all. Dead to myself, alive to you. It's the smartest thing any one of us could ever do. But I'm not going to sugarcoat it tonight. It will not always be easy. It will be very hard sometimes, but there is a joy and there is a connection with God that makes all of the hard and the challenging feel like a momentary light affliction. There is an invitation to the sanctified life tonight. There's an invitation to a full surrender. Holy Spirit, come into any category of my life. You can have any part. I'm giving it all to you tonight. I want to crucify my flesh because I want to be alive to Jesus in every area of my life. The invitation tonight is that we could say Galatians 2:20. We could sing Galatians 2:20 and it not just be poetic, but we could feel it, live it, and know that it's true. So tonight, I'm going to have two responses, maybe three. We'll see. I had like seven in here. I was like, I was going to pick the two or three that felt the right way to go. But for some of you, I really do feel that the sanctified life tonight, the highlight for you is just getting your sin out in the open and confessing your sin. And you just got to deal with the junk and you got to get right with God. And it could be a wide range of categories. So tonight, if you're like, man, Chase, I want to say yes to the sanctifying fire of the Holy Spirit. I'm willing to confess any area of sin in my life that the Holy Spirit puts his finger on. I'm ready to say yes to more freedom. I'm ready to say yes tonight to the blood of Jesus washing me clean. I'm going to repent of my sin. I'm going to receive his forgiveness. I'm going to get made right in my standing before Jesus. If that's you tonight and you know that's you, I want you to stand to your feet because you make that bold confession before Christ. He makes a bold confession before his Father. Who cares what people think? I didn't care what people think at 19. And guess what? I've never regretted it for a day. A wife and three kids later, I've never regretted it. No, that's awesome. Anybody else on the count of three? One, two, three. I want you to stand up with me. Come on, it's awesome. I'll get some CR staff. They're going to come pray with you guys. I want you guys to come up here when I have everybody else come for the altar call. Some CR staff right here that can pray with you guys that are standing up. Anything specific. I think the Lord wants to do work. Some of you, you got to say some specific things. The Lord wants to do work and bring some freedom. So if I get a few staff just on this side, we'll do that moment right here. For others of you, I feel like that sanctifying fire, there's something in your heart. You're feeling the unction that God put on me tonight. You're saying like, man, I just feel like there's a fresh burning that God wants to put in my heart. I want to give him every last aspect. I've been holding some things back. There's a few things I've been resistant to God putting his finger on. If you feel like God's putting his finger on you, like, I don't want to resist anymore, but I want to welcome into every aspect of my life. I want you to stand up. One, two, three. Come on, let's go. Let's go. One last call, and then we'll pray, and then we can respond to worship. But I feel for some of you, you have felt a tug, like you know God's asking for your whole life. Like you feel like, man, I don't know how I'm supposed to do something great for God, but I know I'm supposed to. And it doesn't have to look like a stage or, but you just know that there's a call of God on your life, and you've been resistant to it. But you know God is tugging at your heart saying, give me your whole life. And it's going to change the trajectory. It might change school. It might change everything where you live. It's going to change everything. But there's a tug on your heart tonight saying, the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit saying, like, I want it all. Give me the future. Give me it all. Because I'm going to put my hand on your life. I'm going to put my hand on your life. I'm going to change everything, but I'm going to put my hand on your life and you'll never be the same. If you're here tonight and you know God's been tugging on your heart, I believe there's a transformation encounter for some of you. The power of God, I believe, is going to come down on your life. If you're here tonight, you're like, there's like a call. You just know it's your whole life. There's a tug on your heart. Like you feel like the sanctification work tonight is that God is going to set your heart on fire for the long haul. If that's you, would you just put your hands up and stand up really quick? It's good. We can all stand to our feet now. If you respond to those first two calls, I just want you to go ahead and have time to come over here on this right side. We're going to worship in just a second, guys. You can come over here, yeah, if you, first two right over here. This side right here. There we go. Yeah. I'm going to do the third call over here. If you shout your hand up on the third one. If you did both, you can double do. You go back and forth. We're going to pray really quick as a crew, and then we're going to respond to Jesus. Everybody say this with me. Jesus, we surrender tonight to the work of the Holy Spirit on the inside. We say yes to crucifying our flesh. We say yes to the finished work of the cross. We say yes to Christ alive on the inside. Jesus, we give you room. Put your hand on any part of my life. Nothing's off limits. Sanctify me. Transform me. Make me like you. Holy Spirit, transform my heart. Give me hunger for Jesus. Give me hunger to walk like Jesus.
Thanks for listening to a Circuit Rider podcast. For our full library of podcasts and more information about the Circuit Riders, visit us at circuitriders.com. To access worship, messages, and training courses, visit us at circuitriders.tv. To get involved with the day-to-day of what we do or see what's happening across the globe, you can follow us at Circuit Riders on Instagram. And finally, don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts. We'll see you next time.